Hello, thanks for listening to the second funniest podcast. You could reach us at 408-228-4911, or you can send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. This is the last time I'm going to be plugging November 4th, Rooster Teeth Feathers, 8 o'clock. Get your tickets online at justincomedy.com. Recording my second CD, DVD, to be named. This episode that you're about to listen to, let me get to this first. On the website, if you go to secondfunniestpodcast.com, that'll forward you to where there's a link that you can vote for us on Podcast Alley. You can vote once a month. So if you don't mind going down there once a month and just clicking on the vote for our show, it'll take you right to the show. Super easy, and that'll really help us climb the rankings there and get some more listeners and expand the show. And thank you for all the support that you guys are giving just by listening and subscribing, but also telling people about it. I really, really appreciate it. Enough of that. This episode, we had to cut out some audio again because we had the conversation after the because we recorded this, blah, blah, blah. We talked about it. So this, you might hear the audio drop out to protect the innocent is what I'm trying to say. Enjoy the show. I'm thinking is hello everybody, welcome to Second Funniest Podcast. We are back with Jason Murphy and Gina Rubino. Once again, we had the plan to have Joseph Bears on, but he bitched out on us. Gina, why do you turn your mic off, Gina?
I didn't touch it. Whoa. I didn't.
That was probably me.
Gina does not have good electronics.
I know. Here's today, the event that shall go nameless started where there were pictures being taken. Gina's job is to take pictures. She was holding down the button, emitting rapid flashes in a fashion that would cause seizures, in my opinion. It was just like it was like it seemed like a Sorry, I was loud. I was loud for those of you out of studio.
Because in sound check, you're like, hey, is this a good level for and then you're like, we're live, and
blowing your eardrums. Here's what I should do. I should just put you guys in the same thing, because it compresses everything coming out of this recorder. So even if you scream at the top of your lungs right now, it won't even affect me, but it'll hurt him a lot. That's how it rolls. That's how we do with our our portable studio. Then real quick, what else? You had to go to a store that shall go nameless and buy a camera. And then you had to buy a camera so that you could use the lens so that we could take pictures at a nameless event of a nameless character. We couldn't even really say it's a character. We should probably be vague about that, too. Am I right?
A cartoon.
That might be pushing. Might be pushing it. And then the other exciting events of today. This is my last time on this nameless event that so I'm done. Everybody's going to move on without me due next week because I have the Rooster Teeth Feathers CD recording November 4th for the love of sweet Jesus, God, and the holy in your life. Please buy tickets. Please come. I'm going to shoot straight with the people that listen to this podcast.
When
is this one airing? I was just doing that math in my head.
No, when is your...
Oh, November 4th at 8 p.m. Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California. Are you thinking about coming, Murphy?
I am.
You are. You will be there.
Yes.
You were going to fly from Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't we going to be working in Long Island?
Yeah.
Gina?
No, you don't work till Saturday, jerk off. You guys can't plan a trip to come to the Bay Area, California?
Hold on a second. Your event's on November 4th, and you can't fly out November 8th to work with us?
Whoa. Yeah. Well, much like many events shall go nameless, I am also booked the rest of that weekend at the club, but it's with another headliner, and it's more important that I get people for my CD recording, so pretend I'm not even there that weekend. Even though I will be.
I'm really sad.
You should. What?
I'm sad you're not going to be there.
Oh, come on, suck it up. You'll be fine. You'll have so much good times. It won't be. You'll be like, you know what? Because here's the thing. You don't know any better right now. You don't know any better. I've been here all the time, and then all of a sudden you're just like, you know what? This is a lot easier since we ditched that Justin asshole. This is good times now.
I feel like we should explain A, that we've been up for the last 37 hours.
Yes.
Working.
Eating once.
Once.
During that time. And that's also important.
Mm-hmm. I think none of what you said at the beginning made any sense to anyone except for us.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know that people know that we do live events and
they do.
Them are children's events.
Because I talk about it all the time.
One of the event we had today, Gina was supposed to take pictures and there was a camera malfunction, which caused great dismay.
And as we talked about on the previous episode, Jason Murphy having a production company where primarily you do photography, right? Did I say that wrong? I feel like I slurred that like George Bush or something. Photography? Anyway.
Photography. That was good.
So you do that. So you are kind of like the resident photographer. You are in charge of everything, but you also have to man a station on the other side of us.
Right.
So your station starts at the same time as ours, which is perfect.
Planning.
So that when things start happening wrong at the beginning, because they never happen in the middle of the day.
Right.
So it's right at the beginning, which I'm going to just, from my personal perspective, you guys have like a powwow meeting next to the camera. You take a lot of pictures of nothing. You talk about, you spend a lot of time looking at computers and things like that. Always works out fine. Everything seems to be running peachy keen.
Yep.
I don't know if you're thumb wrestling or if you, because the way that things dictate, like turn out, you would think you don't even talk about cameras. Because then as soon as it's like, all right, Barney's here. Oh, I did it. We got to cut that out. Damn it. This is hard. That's hard. By Barney, I meant Flintstone sidekick. Can I say that? Are we good there?
Barney Rubble.
Barney Rubble. Everybody knows nobody takes pictures of Barney. I'll stop doing this, Justin. Welcome back to the second funniest podcast. I don't know how I'll fix that. If you're hearing this starting now, then I'm sorry because all the nameless stuff, I named it. So as soon as we're like, yay, here comes unnamed character. And then everybody's like, yeah, woohoo. And then we're like, I come in, I'm like, are you ready to meet unnamed character? Yeah, here it comes. Oh, get around him. Everybody take a break. Everybody smile. It's not working. It's not working. What do you mean it's not working, Gina? Make it work. That's what you're supposed to. I don't know what to do. Get Murphy. I come to Jason Murphy. I go, we need these. I'm making videos here. I'm shooting film as we speak.
But then it always seems like I come over, like,
yes.
A little set,
yes.
And like, click, click.
Yes.
Perfect.
Which is unfair to Gina Rubino because you do. You walk over there. And I love it. I'll be honest. I love every minute of watching you come over because he kind of has that like swagger to his walk when he comes over. He's like, all right, watch
big
this.
Swagger.
Push the button. And it works. And then you don't say, see what you did. You just walk away. You just go away.
I say, thank you, Jason.
He keeps walking. He's just like, I'm done. I got to go back and close out my video.
Yeah, because normally my side, I start hitting record and we have a host from a television show doing a 60-second bit with a kid.
So all you have is that 60 seconds.
Yeah, so I hit record, I run away trying to fix your problem.
Which is probably great for this on-air talent to feel like, yeah. You know, they're stuck with the kid.
Because a couple times he's tried to like keep like improv,
yeah, stretch it,
and waiting, going, there's nobody to stop the recording.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
So that's the thing where I feel like I can help. I feel like if I'm that guy, if I was cool enough to be on air, I could talk to that guy. I could talk about whatever for that to a fault. Like we would probably have 48 long 60-second videos.
Right.
48 minute long.
Justin, we were able to see 13 kids today.
That's a record.
Because you could.
I once turned a Bob Brandenburg written show that was intended to be probably at the most 40 minutes into an hour and a half.
I believe that.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. So we start off the event and everybody's, and Gina can't take pictures. Murphy comes over, fixes it, goes away. Gina goes back to taking pictures. All she could get through is the picture that Murphy took and then immediately goes back to whatever button she's pressing that's incorrect, mm-hmm. Which I find hard to believe. It's a big button on a camera.
Right.
Maybe we should get your perspective. Maybe this should be your opportunity because I feel like you catch a lot of flack for doing a horrible job. So maybe this should be your opportunity to say, you know what, guys, listen, this is what I'm doing wrong, and this is why I choose to slow things down.
Well, there, I might be doing something wrong.
I'm pretty sure that when you say might, I'm not letting you speak. I apologize. But real quick, when you say might, you're mispronouncing R. Okay. I are doing something
wrong. Today, when it wasn't working, and the first five times Jason didn't believe me, and then he finally came over and he saw that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And this time he started freaking out and saying, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. I was like, yes, finally.
You're selling. Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not breaking it. I love cameras.
I will say that today it did turn out that the camera lens was malfunctioning.
Yeah.
And I had to go, as you said, and run to a store and buy a new... I had to buy a whole new camera.
Yeah.
Just to take
just to get the one part.
Yeah, because they wouldn't send me the lens, the bastards.
At unnamed store.
At unnamed.
Or unless we could trash the store. We're not connecting them. Let's say...
Where you get the best...
Of purchases. Yeah.
Of electronics.
I like that our minds went to the same spot. I was going to say the maximum of purchases.
But once I ran and put the new lens on, everything did go work as it was supposed to work. So I was no longer confused.
And it worked great.
But it's a good thing that I was at the event, because if I would have been... working another event, trying to troubleshoot over the phone.
It would have shut it down.
Yep. But so,
you probably wouldn't
today...
have believed that the lens was broken if you weren't there.
Correct. So today...
No, I'm laughing because you're absolutely correct. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I feel like every time I laugh at you that it seems like I'm mocking you, and that's not the intent at all.
Yeah. No, Gina, today you didn't mess it up at the beginning of the day. It was the lens.
Yeah. But at the end of the day,
6 weeks
before the pretty much.
But every time I tell you about a software thingamajig-jig, then you say, "Oh,
that
yeah.
doesn't help your
software,
case too." That
the
does not. Yeah,
is perfect.
Yeah,
I happen to know the guy who designed the software
and
programmed it.
Software,
and it's perfect.
But every time I tell you about a thingy that's going with the software, why are you whispering now?
I was gonna say Jason Murphy designed the software.
I know,
but maybe the listeners don't know.
Now they know.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Can we name names if we whisper them?
No.
Okay.
It's perfect, the software.
The software is amazing.
Me, yeah. Oh, I have to fix that.
The new thing in the software where you just take a picture and then it makes all the steps happen, that is fantastic when you're working with somebody like Gina, because she gets all mixed up and pushed all those buttons. Aren't you glad you stayed up to do this? Well, most of us have to get up in 3 hours to get on a plane, by the way. That's also part of the fun that we're experiencing. So from my perspective, it's really fun to watch Murphy come over, because you know, like when you're in turbulence on a plane and you get a little, like, I think this isn't okay, and everybody does that thing where they look at the stewardesses, and if they're able to play it cool, then you know everything's okay. When you guys are both staring blankly at the cameras and just keep your boat, now Murphy comes over and he's doing the Gina move of just like you just see nothing but flash. And my other favorite part was occasionally Murphy was like, you know what, I think I got it, and he'd be like, okay, look up here, okay. Look back, and I'm like, this is not going good. So my dumbass immediately breaks into my shtick. I start doing shtick to keep the people laughing in the line, hoping that it's not going to make you guys too angry and that you could just tune me out. But I'm just going to scream things at you, and then they're going to laugh, and everybody's going to be okay. And because of that stupidity, it took me probably 10 minutes to think of the idea of, hey, everybody seems to have cameras in the damn line. Why not just let them take pictures with their own camera and see if they're okay with that? Because I'm sure that most of people come there, no offense, Murph, but most of the people do come there because they want our amazing digital photography with the little frame that goes around it and everything like that, with the logo of the network that shall go nameless all over it. And it turns out they don't care. They just want the sidekick to Fred Flintstone is who they want to have there, and that's all they care about. So that was great. That was good times.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else really exciting happened today except for what just happened. This is why. This is the real reason why Joseph Bear's bitched out on us. And I will say bitched out, and I will mean it, knowing that he is running somewhere listening to this. And I hope that when he hears this, he laughs and falls and trips and falls on his face.
Justin. That's what
I mean it. I mean it. I've lugged this thing across the country three times now.
I know.
Did I mention three times?
Three.
I brought it. You guys were here last night.
And you're like, you know what? This was fun. I'm going to go in for again. You know? No, not really. You're hoping that we could do.
I was here for the Coke Zero, which I got. Which I got screwed.
I'm sorry. We could stop it right now. Play a song. I go down there. So anyway, we would have had Joseph Bears on, but I realized as soon as I got into my hotel room, I didn't have my phone. And I left it at the pizza place that shall remain nameless that we went to.
Have you expressed to your listeners your new policy as to why things are nameless and that you don't want to mention any corporate name?
I just think it's funny.
Unless,
here's what's going
to
happen.
They pay to be a sponsor of the
podcast. That's what it is. It's because I'm trying to
give them free advertising.
No, yeah. No, I'm going to try and milk every penny out of them. No, yeah. Most of why I'm doing this is because it makes me laugh to watch Gina laugh every time I mention it. Here's the thing. We want to make sure that we don't get in trouble with the people that we work for, and because we are afraid that the 18 people that listen to this show might accidentally tell someone that they don't know about it. And I'm not saying that. I'm not really mad. I'm just trying to make it funny. So who cares? Move on. Because it's fun now. Because Murphy came up with this idea last night. He's like, hey, maybe you can. And I'm having a good time with it. So I go to go get my phone because I'm like, oh, it's back at the pizza place that we don't know. And I go there, I look all over. There's a guy who's literally feeling under, he's a huge dude who was sitting where I was at the restaurant, and he's feeling under his butt. And I'm like, at this point, I will take it from his ass if he could just pull. And it would be so hilarious if this big, huge, bald guy, like, just pulls my, but is this your phone? And he just pulls it out of his ass. I'm like, yes, it is. Not anymore, but that's the one. And so anyway, it's not there. Can't find it anywhere. Security guards, uber helpful. Really? I say, hey, where's your lost and found? And they go, we can go downstairs to the customer service desk, but they closed at 9:30. And I said, oh, well, do you guys have access? Because I'm flying out tomorrow morning and I can't come back tomorrow. Like, and they go, nope, sorry, closes at 9:30. Nothing we could do. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. Like, I was just here doing the Barney event. And I stopped short of saying, I was talking to the head of security for this flipping mall that shall remain nameless. And I like, and they didn't even make eye contact with me at all at any point. They're too busy like surveying the food court to make sure nobody's stealing a churro from Taco Bell Express,
that's
which
not
shall
what,
remain
that's
nervous.
Not what surveying.
They're really? Oh, you think it's underage girls?
Yes.
Oh, these guys, I bet. So he says, "Nope, sorry, can't help you." And I gave him a thumbs up, which I've decided is my new way of flipping the bird politely. I'm like, F you. All right. I go, thanks, fellas. Thanks a lot. And it was really hard for me to go, way to go, double baggers. And so anyway, I try to find Cold Stone because we went to Cold Stone, which shall remain nameless. And then I come back, and the iPhone, for those of you who have iPhones and do not have Mobile Me, it is worth every penny. You sign up for some Mobile Me.
How much is Mobile Me
month? I think it's not month. Well, month. I think it's
yearly.
Yeah, it's a yearly thing, and I want to say it's $100 a year. Yeah. Am I right on that? Mm-hmm. And you get like a 10 gig hard drive online that you could just upload stuff to. You could sync it with any computer or phone or whatever device that you have. You could sync your contacts, your emails, all that stuff. But the cool thing that I was able to use is it has a GPS locator. And I was able to get online and see where my phone was. I felt like James Bond, like I had found the henchman and he was going to lead me back to Goldfinger's lair. Like I was, and here's the thing: at first it was like all of Syracuse, right? But then one moment, all of a sudden, boom! It zeroes in on this little neighborhood, and I was like, that can't be right. That's no, or unless somebody did grab it.
That's not the mall.
So it also has this thing that you can type in a message, and if your phone is on silent, whatever, it doesn't matter. It plays this sonar beeping thing, like
that's
loud as hell. So you can, it'll help you. Does that for 2 minutes straight until you do something to stop it, and then whatever text you type in, it shows up. So I said, "Hey, I'm staying at the hotel that shall remain nameless. Here's the phone number. My room number is 208. Please call me and return my phone. I will pay you." Right. Thinking just in case somebody finds it somewhere, somebody's trying to keep it because it's an iPhone, right? Nothing, nothing, nothing. I do this 3 times. I look in the car, and then all of a sudden, boom, phone rings in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Oh, we were this close to podcasting, this close to having Jay Bizzle on this show. And I pick up the phone. It's a gentleman. He says, hey,
This is Justin Washington.
Yeah, yeah, that's how he said. And I said, this is him. He said, I'm trying to return your phone.
I got your phone.
I got your message on your phone, and I'm trying to return it. I said, great. Where can I meet you? He said, I'm on my way back to the ball. Where are you? I said, I'm at the Holiday Inn. He goes, I don't know the area, right? I don't know why am I being a court dictator.
I'll meet you at the Tully's.
Yeah, so we go to Tully's, which is like a burger bar joint. Murphy says, Murphy says, I'm coming with you, because in case you get jumped, we might as well be two crackers getting their ass beat. So we go down there. I stop off to get some money at an ATM because I told him I'd pay him, so I was going to pay him. Guy pulls up in his van. I go, here. Thanks, dude. Thank you. Do you know where they found it? He goes, here's the thing. I don't know. My son found it. I came home from work. My wife said he had the phone. I was just trying to return it because I saw the message, right? I said, well, here's some money. He goes, no, I can't. No, no. I said, dude, it's not that much. It's just what I have. I go, take the family out to dinner on me or something, you know, which I don't know if you could go to dinner on $40. Maybe that was stupid of me to mention. But anyway, so I keep giving.
At Tully's, you could.
Tully.
So I keep giving. He's like, no. I go, come on. Seriously, it would make me feel a lot better. And then he goes, here's the thing, buddy. My son stole the phone, and I'm just trying to do the right thing. I just hope that somebody would do the same for me. And all I had to say to him was, I would do it in a heartbeat. I'm like, how am I going to return the favor to this guy when I live on the other side of the country? But he's creating good karma, I think, out there in the world. So I got my phone back.
That was
great.
Yay
for me. Yeah, wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Look at this. What happened? Why didn't it do it? There it is. I don't know why there was a delay there.
Mr. Phone Returner Guy.
Yes. I don't know your name. I don't know your phone. I know nothing about you other than your car. He has a good choice of car.
Yeah.
Blue Caravan. Mm-hmm. I would love a minivan.
So do you think you left it at Uno's and the kid took it?
Yeah. Like I'm almost certain.
On the table.
Either one of two things happened. I think I left it on the table. What happened?
I bet it was one of those teenagers that was sitting next to us, and they saw you leave it on the table.
Well, they left at the same time we did.
Did they?
Yeah, and they were all white.
I think, yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, maybe he should remain nameless, but it was a black dude.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Which I felt really bad about, because it's funny to people who know how quasi-racist I am. As soon as I turn around, I'm like, see, racist or smart is what I said. Those are the words that came out of my stupid redneck mouth. And Murphy was like, wait, what?
I think that he was pissed off that his son got... I think his son got caught because he probably had it in his pocket or his backpack, and then... And he was saying, hi, Mom, I just got back from the mall. And then she heard, bing.
Yep.
Bing.
Yeah. And
she's like, what?
He got
where'd busted. Where'd you get that iPhone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think so. And that's great. That's okay. But I just want to thank the people at MobileMe. I want to thank the people at Apple, who all shall remain nameless.
And that awesome dad who did that.
And that dad. That's top shelf. That's top shelf.
Really great dad.
Yeah, that was because I was probably 50. If we didn't have a podcast, I was going to take the car, and I was going to drive around the neighborhood and just knock on the doors, because it was a very short block, that Midland Road or whatever that they live on, I'm assuming. Yeah.
And he told us, Justin had offered him the money, and he said, no, look, my son stole the phone and stuff. And he's like, oh, okay. And he's like, but don't worry, I beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, he did.
He did not say
that. He did. He said, I'm going to beat the living shit out of that son of a bitch, and then I'm going to put him in military school after I disown him, I think is how it goes down.
Now you were able to put a passcode and lock the phone.
Yep, that's another thing that's a feature on MobileMe.
Which is the reason why I felt the need to go with you, because here's how I thought it could go down. That we were going to drive to Tully's, which is a great establishment in a city we don't know.
Yeah.
You were going to get there. This guy was going to pull up, and Justin was going to say, oh, thank you. Here's my phone. I can't believe you brought my phone back.
Yeah.
That they were going to pull out a gun and say, what's the passcode?
I'd be like, what?
Stick a gun in Justin's face.
And I would go, 7007.
He types in the passcode, and then they pistol whip him. And then drive off.
You also mentioned me being raped.
They got to take the money that you promised.
The money I promised. Give me the money promised.
Wait, you're bringing money.
Yeah.
Meet us.
Give me the money.
And we'll get the passcode
because
we locked it.
And we're going to rape you.
Right.
And then they want your autograph because you're Justin Worship.
That's right. They know that I've been on the least popular
premiere. That was going to happen. Free tickets to next week's.
I wanted to be able to be there to help you up.
Okay. Yes, you want to be there. I thought you, the filmmaker in you, wanted to see the story unfold. So I imagine you behind me doing stereotypical thumb-to-thumb, like goalposts, like framing each shot, going, what's going on?
As soon as I got a gun vibe, I would be running for help.
For help. For you or for me or just...
Yeah, well, running and hiding first. But then once the coast is clear, help.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, good.
And to help you up.
Which I think that this is a good time to transition, too, in that I wanted to talk about fun stories when we travel the road for this company that shall remain nameless.
This is one of them.
We just had one.
An adventure.
Yep.
Yeah.
People are probably going to tell this.
The next one that I want to talk about, because he's been on the show, and he's not a listener, so feel free to let it fly. Not that you're going to say anything wrong, but Gina... And I'm going to, can I say his name? He doesn't listen.
I don't think you should, Fred Cross.
Okay, thank you. All right. So Fred Cross and Gina Rubino were on an event. So they go and you guys have to get back to the airport. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you take it over from here.
Oh, geez.
Unless you want me to tell my version of it and you can just stop me when I'm wrong.
I've got a version as well.
Yeah.
So
embarrassing.
How about I tell my version and Murphy tell his version and you say which one's closer.
Okay.
Does that sound like fun to you too, Murphy? Sure. All right. My version is, for whatever reason, you guys were late in getting to the airport, and then you go to the airport and then you realize you have to fill the rental car up with gas. So you go to the gas station and then Fred's in the passenger seat. You're driving. Mm-hmm. So you're driving up, and then you go, can I just pull up anywhere? And he says, yeah, just pull up anywhere. You jump out. You fill up the car. But I feel like he told me that he was like, there was some kind of, he was in a rush or whatever, and there was just some kind of, you were trying to figure out how to put the thing in the gas tank, and he couldn't figure it out, and he thought it had to do with the fact that they were in a different state or something stupid. So he just pulled back the thing and just let it go and let it seep into the gas tank, right? So then you get in the car. You get a little bit of ways from the gas station, and then all of a sudden glug, 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 the car dies and you're stuck there, and so you have to call somebody and you have to leave the car there to go to catch your flight. And what had happened was that you had filled the car with diesel fuel for an unleaded vehicle. And thusly, the car stopped driving, because for anybody who's not mechanically inclined, diesel burns at a higher temperature than gas. So it's essentially like putting water in your tank if you have an unleaded fueled car. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you can go with your...
Yeah. That's pretty close to what I heard as well. But I got a phone call from Gina saying...
Oh, you were a part of this.
Oh, my God. I think I'm going to be fired because... We put diesel in the rental car. And my immediate response was, Gina, that is not possible. Because they make the nozzles, for people that don't know this, they make the nozzles on the diesel too large to fit in to an unleaded car's gas tank. So you cannot fill up a car.
I think what you're saying is you would have to be a retarded monkey to find a way to put diesel into an unleaded
car. The way that
vehicle.
I heard that it went down was, like you said, they were driving to return the car. They were in kind of a podunk little town.
Yeah.
And the only gas station they found on the way to the airport was this tiny little kind of mom and pop gas station. And they were laughing about like how kind of... old-timey, stupid guy.
You got a pretty mouth.
And it had, like, one gas pump thing.
A cross-eyed kid playing banjo on the porch.
Yeah, Gina gets out to try and fill it, and she's like, oh, my God, this place is so podunk that the gas nozzle won't even fit in the car. Fred Cross says, what? You're crazy. He gets out of the car, comes around, like, holy crap, you're right, it doesn't fit. So we're going to have to just pump it from... You know,
from work,
nozzle.
And it'll seep through the little sealer thing,
kind of go into there, like force this gas into the car. Because this gas station must be so fucked up.
Please tell me that you're in the South. Are you in the South when this happening?
This gas station is so fucked up.
Yeah.
That
these stupid rednecks have no idea how to fuel a car.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
What kind of
your version is so much
this
better?
Gas station, you fuckers at this gas station are morons.
All of you backwoods inbred idiots.
Cut to 5 minutes later, they're sitting on the side of the road, going, "Wait a second."
And Cletus, the tow truck driver, is like, "Yeah, somebody put diesel in your fuel tank, which I don't even think is possible. Played a trick on you. You done been punked or something."
So the story that Fred Cross apparently tells is that Gina did it all by herself, and he was like, "I don't think this is a good idea." But I don't know that that's true.
That's the story that I've heard from several people. Is that that's how Fred tells it. That little blip that you just said, Jason.
About he was in the car.
So, yes.
Gina was making a lot of noise trying to get the gas in.
And he's like, I don't know if this is the way to go. Yeah. Which
That's
either
how
way.
I've heard from several people
he,
that
either
have,
way.
He probably in his story probably said, Gina, you're sure this isn't diesel, right? Yeah.
Either way, breaks bad for Fred Cross because he, A, either is like participating in putting diesel in the car even though it doesn't fit, or B, he's being so chivalrous and manly that he's like, all right, chick, get out and pump gas in the podunk town we're in. Like, I ain't facing these rednecks. Oh, I love it. I love it. And so... So you're saying that his is closer to your version.
Yeah, well, Jason heard it from me.
Yeah.
So I called him that night crying from the airport because I missed
my flight. Did you have to just leave the car?
On the side of the road, yes.
How did you get to, you just called a cab or what did you do?
Yeah, we called AAA.
Oh, you called AAA and the tow truck driver took you to?
It wasn't a tow truck. It was, I think we called the rental car place. We called the airport because that was where the rental car place was and they had a private, it's a really small town.
Yeah.
A tiny airport. So they had a private, you know, luxury, you know, vehicle that goes out and takes people like a shuttle. So they came and got us. I missed my flight because we sat there on the side of the road forever.
Waiting for this car to come.
Yeah.
And what was the, did you ever know what the aftermath was with the rental car? Like, was there any huge charge?
Oh, yeah, they had to flush it. It was like $300.
Just for them to flush the fuel tank and the fuel system.
Flush the fuel tank and then the car was fine.
And who got hit with that? Can we know that?
I'll just say that I was not allowed to pay for it, even though I begged.
God bless this nameless company.
I begged and begged and said I would pay for it because I felt horrible about it. And they said, no, but the next time you do it, you'll be fired and you will pay for it.
Is that what they said?
Ow.
Oh, you got me. You got me. I was like,
do you want to know what happened, though?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, let's just say that we were there for like 5 days. And the entire thing was like a wild, crazy goose chase. Like every day there was something ridiculous going on.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then the final day, we got stuck with all of this crazy stuff last minute that was supposed to be done by someone else. And it wasn't. So we were last minute running around town trying to make our flights. And then we're like, oh, we've got to fill up the gas tank. Let's pull over and fill up the gas tank. And then I get out. Fred's on the phone with his then girlfriend, now wife. Oh. And I know.
So did you hear about how I ruined their wedding? Maybe we can go into that afterwards. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I saw their cool dance, though.
We've talked about it on this show before, but just okay. I'll tell it after this. Go ahead.
Part. Yeah, we don't listen to the show.
Yeah, I know.
I listen.
A lot of people don't.
I didn't hear that one.
A lot of our guests don't. I would say 99.9% of our guests.
I've heard about your mom's funny. She makes so is your dad.
We're going to throw them on the podcast next week. Yes. That's what I think is going to happen.
I think we have a caller.
You know what I hate about that bit? You get me every time.
I know.
Because you look at my computer. I was like, oh, how is he hearing it? And I start thinking about how it's wired. Anyway, I'm sorry. So you're at this event 5 days.
It's crazy. So all this crazy stuff happens. We're trying to get to the airport on time. We're like, oh my gosh, is this finally going to be over?
So you're like loading out and then trying to go to the airport.
Because
that's what I couldn't remember. There was some reason for urgency to get to the airport.
There was all this last minute like packing stuff.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of dumped. That we weren't initially supposed to.
Was this a? I feel like this was an event that was associated with some kind of squirrel. Am I right on that?
No.
Okay, never mind then. Keep going.
No squirrels.
Have we ever done an event associated with a squirrel?
Yeah.
Okay.
They made a movie. They used to sing Christmas songs.
No, not that event.
All right, okay. You're right. This is a lot of fun, Murph. Thanks for this idea.
So we have to fill up with gas. So we pull up at this gas station, and Fred's on the phone with his girlfriend, and I get out, and... I go to put the gas in and it's not fitting. But here's the thing is I'm looking for the cheapest gas to save money for the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's two green things.
Mm-hmm.
And one says unleaded and one says something else that wasn't green. And I was like, oh, well, when it's not green, it's more. Like it's like super or something.
Because you thought
else.
The diesel tag was like an advertisement for jeans.
It was only two thingies. And I thought that the green one wasn't, I don't know about diesel. I don't know.
Not even the jeans?
Well, jeans I've heard of.
Okay. Thank you, Tina.
But I don't know this difference in gas.
Uh-huh.
I know Volvos take different gas.
You know what they take?
Diesel.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, like, what it meant. I just knew they took a different kind of gas. I didn't know there was different sizes.
Do you remember what kind of car you had?
No, I have no idea.
Do you remember that it was not a Volvo?
It wasn't a Volvo.
Yeah.
But I didn't even if I had a Volvo at the time, I wouldn't know that if there was a different
size.
If
you had a Volvo at the time, that would have been an amazing coincidence because then it would all have worked out. It
would have been great.
I wonder what happens when you put unleaded in a diesel car. I think that blows up.
Let's try it.
All right. What are you guys doing tomorrow?
Do that.
All right,
but,
so...
But I went for the cheapest thing, and I was in a hurry. So I was like, oh, I'll get this because I'm saving the company money.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it doesn't fit, and I'm like, oh, not another crazy, wacky, crazy thing to end this trip.
Yes.
So I'm like, knock, knock, knock on the window, Fred. And he literally is like, oh, I'll call you back. I don't know what's going on now. Like, it was hilarious. Wow. He was so annoyed.
That's
he
the
gets
best.
Out of the car, and I'm like, can you believe this? We're in such a small town that the gas tank thing doesn't even fit.
That's what he said.
And he's such a doll face, I'm thinking at the time, before I find out that he's telling a different story all these years. Love you, Fred. That he's like, Gina, I don't want you to get sprayed with gas, so I'm going to go ahead and hold this mouth to mouth. We'll get the gas in there. We'll get to the airport. We still have time. We're going to make our flights. So I go in and I pay for it. A whole tank. It was almost $40.
Full tank.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. This is great. Because that was part of the story that I felt like was that it was the usual 3 or 4 gallons that we put in. And so I was like, well, how did it get away so fast? And I was like, maybe it's because diesel's heavier.
No, that's how much driving and crazy stuff we did that week.
Did the person at the counter at the gas station give you any kind of signs?
No.
That sure is a funny-looking Volvo you got there.
Yeah.
No, nothing. And like, there's tons of people.
He didn't sarcastically say, so you are purchasing $40 of diesel gas, am I right?
He didn't say anything.
Well, she probably said pump number 5 because it had the both handles.
True. And all these people.
Which you guys didn't bother to check the other handle because it was more expensive.
That's just what I was thinking.
Right. Cheaper isn't always better.
And now I know.
I don't know who said that.
But you know what? She's right. Diesel is almost always a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Now, these days, it seems like it's the opposite. But
you could save a lot of money.
These days. Now you're an expert on the fuel? How did this happen?
I notice diesel now. Are you kidding me?
Like, when you fuel your car, because here's what happened to me. Because of this story, we're refueling the rental car that we have here, me and Joseph, and both of the handles were green, and I'm like, I'm all over looking at what's going on. I'm like, all because of this stupid thing, even after I've heard that one doesn't fit into the other.
It's horrible.
That's great.
So, but here's the thing is, I think back, the gas station is full of people filling up cars, and they have to hear me and Fred saying, like in our exhaust, oh, can you believe this is happening? It doesn't even fit. And not a single person is like, you know, saying, hey, you might be putting diesel in your car. Because we're like,
probably calling their friends going,
hey, can you believe this shit?
You're going to want to come on down to Clyde's.
And they can tell, like, we're city folk.
Now the guy's getting out. Watch. Holy shit.
And they're all laughing at us. I knew
He's
it.
He's holding it up to the mouth to mouth.
It's like a monkey fucking a football.
It's spraying all over the place.
Look at him. I think he called it mouth to mouth. Fill the gas tank.
They're still going. They must be filling the whole thing up.
I bet these are a couple of stupid Californians that think we're dummies. I bet that's what's going on. This is where we get our laugh back at their asses.
And that's what happens. We get in the car and we're driving. And then it starts to chug and like slow down. And like jump, and he's like, Gina, stop putting your foot on and off the gas. Stop, like pulling my leg, and I'm like, no, something's wrong with the car. He fully thinks I'm playing a joke, fully. And then I pull,
which
over.
Is not the kind of joke that you would play.
No, especially when I'm like,
I gotta get to the airport. I want to go home.
I'm about to miss my flight.
I want this week to be over.
Yeah. Well, we pull over. It's not working at all. And then all of a sudden, it hits me. Oh my god! And I grab in the back seat and get out the gas receipt. And Fred's like, what? What are you looking for? And I'm like, he goes, you didn't put diesel in the car, did you?
That's what he said to you.
Uh-huh.
But he did the mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
And what did you say?
And I got out of the receipt and I was like, I put diesel in the car and I lost it.
I thought you didn't know what diesel was this time.
Well, the receipt said diesel. The receipt said diesel.
Now I feel like somewhere in the middle of their stories is the truth. Now I feel like that's what's happening.
What are you talking about? What did I say that was wrong?
Well, you start off with you didn't know what diesel was.
Well, I knew that diesel existed, but
But then all of a sudden it hits you when the car breaks down that you're like, oh, no, now I know what we did. We put diesel in the car.
Well, what else would I think of? What else could have?
That your car was broken? Your 2006 brand new 30-mile
Camry.
New
rental car. And then I'm thinking, why was the gas station so crazy? And why
would it not fit? Why was it mouth to mouth? I love that that's what it's called. Mouth to mouth.
And I'm like, what could...
Weirdly enough, mouth to mouth used to resuscitate a human being.
The opposite.
Learned to kill a car.
Yeah.
You know what my husband says when I tell him the story? How could you not know? How could you get to be this old and not know that diesel is a different size?
That's what your husband said?
That's what he says to me.
Husbands
how
are...
How am I supposed to know? know that.
Husbands are a special breed of sensitivity. I can speak. I feel like you, your husband and I are cut from the same cloth. Because I think a good husband, a true good husband, which is why I called my first CD I'm a Good Husband, because I think I'm a horrible husband. But I have a wife who is either A, super dumb, or B, really, really likes me. I think it's a little bit of both. So I am incredibly insensitive. Because a smart husband, when you come home having this horrible week and say, I filled the car with diesel fuel, I screwed up, he would be like, oh, I'm so sorry you had a bad week. Not even having to touch the issue of whether or not it's right or wrong. But your husband, much like myself, I go straight for the jugular. I go, really? Really? He probably wasn't even as mean as I get. Like, I will look at my wife, I go, really? Are you that retarded? That you can't, this is what, I, what did I do that, Natalie, we got in a fight, and this is really wrong of me, but we got in a fight because I left, and we've had this fight recently where I'm like, I need you to help out with the house a little bit more, mm-hmm. right? So she's trying to help clean up the house. We borrowed, she borrowed a DVD from a friend of mine like 4 years ago, and it's been sitting in our entertainment center for four fucking years. And then I said, just get rid of it. It's not even relevant anyway. It's a pink DVD, like from 4 years ago. I said, I know she doesn't want it because she's moved on to other things, or call her and see if she wants it. And then she goes, no, I'm just going to find her address. I'm going to mail it to her. I said, no, don't mail it. And she's like, no, I'm going to mail it to her. I'm like, fine, mail it to her. I leave. She takes the envelopes I used to ship my CD and DVD in. She grabs one of those, and she says, I tried to put it in there, but it doesn't fit, and it rips up the envelope, right? I had just been, I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning, local time, and I flew the whole way, and I was just tired and cranky, so I just start going, really? Really? You can't put a DVD in an envelope? You're that dumb that you can't handle that? You have to tear up my shit? And she looks at me like I'm crazy, which just pushes me to an all different level of crazy and insensitive and bastard-likeness. And I start yelling at her, and she goes, you know what? Fuck you. I'm just trying to help, and I get yelled at for help. You're talking to me like I'm retarded. I said, if you can't put something in an envelope, I'm pretty sure that's on the retard test, is what I said to her. She goes, you're an asshole. I go, how am I an asshole? She goes, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help. Oh, I'm yelling, and it's late in the hotel, and these are paper thin walls. She goes, I'm trying to help, and then you yell at me for helping. I go, well, when you're helping is making things worse, that's not helping. It's not helping me when now I have to figure out how to mail your damn DVD that you should have gotten rid of 4 years ago, right? I feel like I'm boring you guys.
Because you're kind of an asshole.
I am a big time asshole. I know I'm an asshole. Like, it took me a while and some therapy to figure it out. Because this is another funny thing about me and my wife, in my opinion, is that I started talking to my therapist. Like, we got through all my other stuff, and then we started talking about my marriage, and I started laying into him. And almost all my friends, when I talk to them, they're like, yeah, what the hell? Oh my gosh, you know? But when you talk to a therapist, he remains objective to a certain degree, because he goes, I just feel like she doesn't, like, I know everything that it takes to make her tick. I know how to make her happy. I know what makes her angry. I know how to avoid makes her angry, all this stuff, right? I feel like she knows none of this. I feel like sometimes she goes out of her way to make me angry. And he goes, well, and I go, I just feel like she doesn't get me and doesn't want to take care of me. And she goes, well, that's because where she's from a normal household where it's not a requirement to know the ins and outs of the other person, which totally threw me for a loop. I was like, wait, what? Like, why aren't you, I'm paying you. Why aren't you on my side? This is for me time. And he's like, well, it sounds like she's just being a normal person. Why do you have this level of expectations that she has to read your mind? Don't you think that's a little surreal, like, and unnecessary? And I was like, no, which was hard because he's a doctor. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm going, I think, yes. And I'm thinking, because he didn't change my mind. It's not like I went, oh, you're right, in that moment, because I'm stupid. I still, but I felt like I should agree with him because he's a doctor. I go, oh, I guess that's a way to put it. Even though in my head I'm going, wait, I still feel kind of like I'm right. I feel like a little bit. I know I'm wrong on the envelope thing, because at the end she goes, I just feel like you're driving me nuts because you don't help. And then now when you try to help, it just makes it worse. Like, now there's more shit that I have to figure out how to do when I got enough going on, right? And she goes, are you seriously yelling at me for a fucking envelope? Is that what, I go, it's not that it's an envelope, it's that it's my envelope used to ship my CDs, which, by the way, are not flying off the shelves, just so we can make that clear. It's not like those envelopes.
Where do you buy those CDs?
Well, you could buy them at justinworsham.com.
Ants.
Or you can download them from iTunes.
Which is what I did.
But it's not like I'm selling. It's not like every week I get an order of 10. That's not what's happening at all. I don't think I've sold one in probably 4 months.
Every 10 weeks you get an order of one.
If that. Probably not that. And that's what I mean. She was this whole idea of, now I'm just realizing this, this whole idea of clearing out clutter, she was helping that by using up my envelopes that I'm not using to ship my CDs. Which, by the way, my CDs and DVDs take up more room in our house than any of her DVDs that she needs to give back to anybody. I'm a dick. That's hilarious.
You need to clean up your clutter so I can store my DVDs exactly. that I bought 50,000 of.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and here's the best part about it. This is what makes me laugh most of all, is that having this conversation, you'd think I would go home to my wife and I would be like, babe, I'm so sorry. No, it's not going to change a thing. Which I think is the definition of an insane person who does the same thing but expects a different result each time or something like that. Yeah, that's what, God bless my wife. God love her. Sorry, what got me on that tangent? But
my husband telling me that he can't believe I didn't know that.
Yeah. So am I like your husband in that sense? Am I like that or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You expect her to read your mind.
He does the same thing.
Yes.
Which I find emasculating. I find it emasculating that I know how to tell. Like, I feel like I'm always complaining. Like I'm the woman in the relationship. Like I'm like, how come you don't understand what I need? And why is it that I'm even having this conversation with you? Like, I've had a conversation with her where I go, oh, this is embarrassing. I go, sometimes I just need a hug.
Wow.
I go, why can't you just figure out I need a hug? Why?
Never mind,
why do I have to tell you? When you're stressed out, I know I come and I rub your back or I give you a little shoulder rub thing or whatever. But if I get tweaked or I'm stressed out, you just don't even want to come near me. All I need is a hug. And she's like, oh, okay, you want a hug? Not now. I had to ask for it.
Oh, gosh, you are the girl.
I am. But I'm a pretty manly girl because I know that diesel does not go in an unleaded car. And I could fix a car. I can't do that.
How was I supposed to know that by that time in my life? How would I normally have learned that?
Even if you don't, there's a neat little trick. What they did, because a lot of people might not know that, is they made the nozzles too big to fit in the fucking car.
Jason, you're so mean. But I've been trained
mean or right.
to overcome obstacles.
Hold on. Years. She just made it sound like you went through Navy SEALs or something.
No,
I've been trained.
Just
what kind of black ops are you running, Rubino?
Just to, like, when something goes wrong or awry with the camera lens.
Yeah. Oh, you were
me.
Yeah, you were a Navy SEAL. What?
When the nozzle was too big, you should have called me
instead of afterwards.
JK.
Is there?
Well, I sense a pattern developing here. Are you the go-to guy for all of her problems?
No,
does she call her?
Head.
She didn't. She should have.
Just in my head.
Afterwards, when it happened, she called you.
I don't know. It's so weird now that I think. I don't think I ever. Obviously now I know the difference between diesel and regular, but. I didn't know there was different sizes.
Because here's the thing. I also think I've created this in my own marriage. Now, is the reason you did not call Mikey is because you knew that he would probably just yell at you and call you dumb?
I didn't think that there were. I seriously thought we were just at a really old gas station.
No, but I'm just saying. Really I'm saying afterwards. Like afterwards when it all happened, why didn't you just call Mikey and go, Mikey, I did something wrong?
Oh, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. And what did he say?
He said,
oh, that's when I thought it was.
How did you not know that a diesel nozzle was way bigger and isn't going to fit? And I'm like, and that's when I got all upset. I'm like, how am I supposed to know? He's like, you're way too old not to know. I'm like, who's supposed to teach me? Because they failed.
Yes.
And then the only time Gina really calls me is when she thinks she's going to get fired. That's pretty much.
That's your department?
Yeah, because I'm the one that she calls. And she says, I think I'm going to get fired. This is what happened. And I say, no, Gina, you're going to be fine. this time she's like, this is what happened. I put diesel in the rental car. And I was like, no, you're fine. That's impossible.
I love that Mikey calls her dumb and you give her way too much benefit. Like, you give her way too much credit.
There's
like,
no way,
Gina, nobody is that dumb.
You think you're dumb, but there's no. I happen to know that they make the nozzles too big, so there's no way you did
no
that.
Way. No
and
way you
like,
could do that.
Yeah, Jay, we did mouth to mouth.
Hold on, Gina. Well, you and Fred did mouth to mouth. Well, Fred did mouth to mouth with the car, but yeah. Later he's going to tell everybody I was the one mouth to mouthing the car.
In that case, you're pretty much fucked.
Has there ever been a time where she's called you and you said no, but in your head you're like, I think she's going to get fired.
No.
Pretty sure.
I mean, like I said, she only calls me when she thinks she's getting fired, so it's only like 2 or 3 times a week. And normally,
well, that was
the
close.
Most ridiculous story she tells me.
That was almost a Coke Zero spit take all over the mixer.
Like, Jay, I think I'm going to be fired. Why? What happened? I accidentally, you know, had my wake-up call set for 5 minutes too late, and I was, you know, almost, oh, I was only 2 minutes early for call.
How do you, how, here's the thing.
And even though nobody said anything, I
how do you look so
like,
happy and look so good? Because here's the thing, somebody who carries as much stress as you do should be fat. They should have some kind of eating disorder. They should have lots of gray hair. They should just look unhappy and aged and just, as my father would say for ladies, rode hard and put up wet. Like, just used and abused. And you look great. Like, you have a glow to you. Like, how is it that you can carry all of this stress and anxiety but still, like, be okay? I'm curious. I'm honestly, you probably don't have the answer. This is probably another unfair question. But
lip gloss.
Ha, ha, ha!
Nice. Now we know why she calls you, my friend, because you get her.
No, I saw her putting on lip gloss as she asked that question.
You knew she was going to have like a lip gloss. That's
pretty much her answer to almost anything.
That's how you get through.
Uh-huh.
I believe it. I love it.
In fact, when the airlines came out with this whole no liquid thing, I wrote to our travel girl at the time, freaking out because I didn't even think that we could take lip smackers on. And I'm like, I know that this doesn't matter. I'm still going to work and I'm still going to travel. But I just want you to know that I could never be away from lip gloss for longer than just a matter of minutes. Like, if I was on a desert island without lip gloss, I think I might die.
She wrote a letter to
Did she call you about this email?
No, this is news to me.
Because that could get you fired.
Well, if it doesn't, it should. We had a really good relationship. So she knew that I was, you know, just being silly.
Oh, is this the Rube?
Half serious,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And
I thought it was the new girl. I was like, really?
Oh, no, this is a long time ago.
Okay, all right.
And then when we found out that I could have lip smackers, I was like, oh. That was like an hour later. I wrote back and I was like, oh, I can have lip smackers. Everything's fine.
We're okay.
Dear Delta Airlines, I'm writing to
convey a concern for security purposes. I want to warn you that beyond any terrorist threat, beyond any hijacking threat, is the angry Italian temper that would come out. Wait, are you even Italian?
Oh. Have you not seen my profile?
No, your Italian profile?
I turn my head to the side.
Her Italian
space. Oh, your profile. Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Profile has ruined the word profile think Facebook or MySpace, your side view.
Facial profile.
But why did... Hold on. I didn't know Italians were... What's the look?
Schnozzes?
They do?
What?
I didn't know this. Did you know this?
Think of the Italians that you know.
You're the only one.
No.
Pretty sure.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not the one I know of, but you're the only one I know. Let me tell you, I'm racist. I don't like... If I would have known you were Italian when I met you, and had I not, like, been like, she's a cool chick.
Is that why I'm the only one on the podcast that doesn't have a chair?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Notice how Cracker McCrackerstein from iRye, he's got a chair. He's like, I got it on lockdown. He's also at my 12 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
right? But I always make eye contact with you because I don't trust you. I don't know what you're going to do. You're off to the side, which I don't feel comfortable with. But I know that he's got my back. I would not do the podcast with just you and I either because I feel like you would put a horse head in my bed or something like that.
Fishes.
Fishes? You put fishes in my bed?
No. You sleep with the fishes.
Is there a tuna-flavored lip smacker?
Ooh.
Come on, if there was. Are there any gross ones like that are purposely gross, like Hogwarts beans?
They may have made some, but I don't know of them. They did have butter popcorn I have peanut butter and jelly, which is gross. I think I might have told you that.
Because you put peanut butter on top and jelly on the bottom?
Butter popcorn's pretty
gross.
Did
you ever do peanut butter and chocolate, make a Reese's mouth?
I know, but that's a good idea.
You're welcome.
Wow.
That's what I do. Does anybody have any other, besides the obviously the diesel story, does anybody have any other crazy nameless company stories of the road that they would like to share?
Nothing crazy ever happens to me.
Nothing?
Really?
I feel like that's more sarcasm.
I feel like you've got a big scar on your wrist and a broken toe.
Oh, that's right.
Those aren't exciting.
That's right. For
a few little broken.
I want to talk about this real quick because we did a tour together, which I've also talked on this podcast about. But we did a tour together where before I joined, you hurt your foot by rolling probably a 7,000-pound piece of decking across his toe, and then. Just goes, hey, guess what? Everybody needs steel toe shoes. Everybody needs them. And in our case, I don't know if they did it for everybody else, but in our case, they paid for them. Like, one of the guys ordered them, and then we all got it, and we're all good, right?
You say that I rolled. I mean, I can't even move a 7,000-pound cart myself.
But I feel like you could have moved your foot.
I was trying to save lives.
With your foot?
I was probably the smallest, scrawniest little guy on this tour.
Uh-huh.
And we have to push this cart up a ramp onto a truck.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, they thought it was a good idea for me to be the guy
to steer.
Who's in the front steering while all the really strong guys are pushing as hard and fast as they can.
Yes.
Pushing this thing up the ramp.
Yes.
So that particular case, I was steering, and everyone, apparently the stronger guys were on the left side of the cart.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're pushing up the ramp, it starts to go off the right-hand side of the ramp because the left-hand side guys were pushing too hard. So as I tried to yank it back into the correct direction to keep it from flying off the ramp and falling over and killing everyone, I had to plant my foot to try and steer it. But, of course, they're still pushing as hard as they can, so it pushed over my foot as I steered it to the right direction, saving valuable lives.
Well, to me, it sounds like the cart is only going towards you.
Yeah.
So you're the only valuable life you're saving, though.
Running backwards.
Yeah, but you're the
ramp as seven guys push it as hard as they can.
But I'm saying
if they would have pushed it off the side of the ramp, it could have fallen over
on somebody else. So you're saving, but you kill a few strong guys, who cares?
That's true.
Right? You're the brains of the operation.
I should have saved my toe.
I should have killed a few grunt guys. Because here's what I'm more interested in. If you roll over your foot and hurt your toe and everybody gets steel toe boots, what happens if a piece of decking falls over and takes out three crew members? What steel do they put everybody? Helmets, you think? You'll crush their heads?
I don't know.
I know. That's what I want to know.
They probably would have come up with a better solution than having guys push up the ramp while some scrawny guy tries to steer. I probably could have saved myself a lot of trouble for the other 3 years.
No.
Yeah.
My other favorite thing about this is that the requirement for steel toe boots, I think, lasted about 8 months.
Yeah.
Like a good 8 months where it's like, okay, everybody's got to have steel toe boots. And then it just kind of faded away like Balloon Boy. And, you know, and then next thing you know, we're all pushing, nothing heavy, but we're all pushing stuff up. Although today was fun. That was another exciting thing. Piece of the base fell off. It's hard to create a visual. Imagine a dolly and then a stand that you would put like a flat screen. Why am I? I'm saying imagine and I'm describing everything that it is. I'm a dumbass. I'm going to keep going with this though because it's the only way I know how to do it. But you would put like a flat screen. We have these stands, right? And and I'm pulling it up and then the bottom comes off and goes with the dolly.
And the bottom is the very heavy part.
Yes, the heaviest part. I have the light part, which was easy. It slides off. Murphy and Larry, our truck driver, are standing out there and it's flying right towards them. And my favorite part is I wish I could draw a picture better with words, but Murphy's like leaning on the thing we call the desk, right? He's just leaning on it, talking, and they're evaluating something, and he turns over his shoulder and he sees this thing careening down the ramp right at him, and he just kind of like, you just see it come over him like, if it's gonna hit me, it's gonna hit me. There's nowhere I can go. And Larry kind of took a sidestep.
He did.
And
like,
he took a sidestep and he goes, I'm good. I'm good. It's coming towards Murphy. I'm okay. And Murphy just went. He just sat there, and then
so calm.
And then it bounced off the hit a case and bounced off, and then now that he knows he's safe, he also then his mind moves to the bit of instantly making me feel guilty for the accident happening because then he just rolled. Murphy has a talent for not rolling his eyes but rolling his entire upper body, like shoulders and head are into it. Like he just does his head roll, like where he just like he's. like he's a I don't know if it's a cat like clinging like a paw but without the paw in front, or if it's like he's painting a canvas with his chin that's just just like 3 feet away from his chest, like just he just like is that what you wanted? Is that he just gives me this look? I hope you're happy. I made it. I survived. You have failed again to kill me, Justin Worsham. And I was like, I'm sitting there. Oh, by the way, not moving at all. I'm just still holding the top going, oops.
Yeah, this is you at the top of the ramp going, oh.
I could articulate.
Pound,
yeah.
The giant metal piece is careening towards me. I get, oop.
I couldn't. Well, before that, when I got to the top and I realized
that
something went wrong,
though.
I thought I was still going to get it. And I was kind of being funny to myself. I went, whoa. And that was also me like, hey, everybody, look, something's about to go bad over here. And they did. Everybody looked just in time to see it and fall and go flying towards them.
Yeah, luckily the smashing sound of the 200-pound metal thing falling and sliding across the metal and concrete with a little bit of a...
Which then I immediately hear everybody come from inside come out. Is everybody okay? All right. And then I describe to Joseph what happened. And in my description, I said, but nobody got hurt. And then after my description, he goes, nobody got hurt? Yeah. Nobody got hurt, jackass. Remember the first three words out of my mouth? I'm a little angry at him because he was supposed to be here. Not that I'm having the time of my damn life right
but
now.
But it's not your fault because the people, whoever it was that put those stands together on the very first tour.
Yep.
Which I recall being Justin Worsham, didn't put it together correctly.
Yeah, simmer down there, Fred Cross.
Which
the way it goes down is the president of the
president of the company.
he was the one. He did. I just said that for humor. It was the who was the first truck driver that we had. It was that guy that put all those together in the corner.
Whoever that guy was.
Yeah, it wasn't Brian. He was busy taking pictures of all of us working.
Pretty sure it was you. Like, hey, there's bolts to hold the metal.
Nah, gravity will do its
job. The really heavy part.
Yeah.
There's bolts to bolt that to the rest of it. Do we need those?
Nah, gravity will do it.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. That's the argument I have with myself.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who our first truck driver was.
Wait, hold on. You can't be heard right now.
It's okay.
Why? Are you backing out? You're out?
We
can wrap it up, actually.
Why are you so far from your microphone?
I didn't want everybody to hear that thought.
Did you know who the first truck driver was?
Yeah.
Well, that's important.
Mm-mm.
No? All right, good. I'm glad, because it wasn't. I was being kidding. But that's not a phrase.
Being kidding.
Pretty sure that's not real.
I feel like we've been rambling for about 3 hours.
You would be a third correct in that it is 1 hour, and we can wrap it up.
People actually listen to this?
They do. Here's the thing. Not a lot do, but here's what I feel like. If you look at podcasts on iTunes, this is my honest to goodness, if you look at a podcast on iTunes, even the top 20, unless it's associated with a name, I still feel like even though you listen to this, you just happening, right? And you're like, this is kind of boring, right? And there may be people who are listening. Like, I still feel like it's better than what is in the top 20. I honestly feel that.
I already want my hour back, and I'm in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Jason.
Just kidding.
He's being a little serious, and that's okay. That's okay. I get it, because here's my opinion of it. I do this all the time. You've done this twice. Imagine doing it 46 times. Right. That's how many times. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think anybody. But then people love it. Joseph Barris loves it. We have Jeremy Schutz loves it. Gina's a big fan.
But I've never been bored listening to it, though.
I don't think they are. I think there's something about the magic. I'm going to take credit for it. I can pile a piece of shit like there's no tomorrow. That's my gift.
I'm not sure people listen to it because we haven't had a single caller. If anyone is listening to this, please call in.
We do have one call in for, this is a request. We're going to go out with a song we'll just go out. Who cares? I was going to say, here's what I wanted to say. Go to Podcast Alley, or you could go to the justincomedy.com and just click on the podcast link. And there's a link where you can go to Podcast Alley and once a month vote for our show. There's a direct link that takes you right to the thing. You don't got to fill anything out. You just click on it and vote. And the more votes we get, we can rise to the rankings, and that can help us get more listeners so more people can be bored by our show. But a big round of applause for Jason Murphy, Gina Rubino, repeat guests, only guests to do back-to-back episodes.
Oh,
yeah.
Special.
Congratulations, kids.
I just felt bad that Joey pushed out. So
don't Don't piss me off again. This is going... Oh, that's not what I wanted. Stop. The this is going out
to... How many times have you done this?
46? Oh, 46. And each time, it's like the first time. See, I just started that song over because it wasn't in the beginning. This song is called Hero. And this is going out to the gentleman who returned my cell phone from his hoodlum-ass kid.
That's sweet.
And as we... as we speak, that would have been so much better if I could have held a straight face. Is right as we speak, beating the living shit out of his kid, and deservedly so. Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Hey, what was the, I almost forgot when your comedy show was.
November 4th, Rooster Teeth Feathers at 8 p.m. Tickets are available at justincomedy.com.
I better get my tickets now. Because
you should. Please, for the love of God, no. It's not the opposite of sold out. I don't. The only reason I don't put this out on the tweets is because I don't want to sound that desperate. I'm going to shoot straight with the listeners. I think I did this last episode. I don't know. I have 12 tickets sold. Son of a bitch, fucking cock in my ass. We need more. Please, for the love of God. All right? Is that clear enough, you think?
I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah? Makes sense? Should I not mention names?
It's almost sold out?
No. No. Yes. Yes, it is. Almost sold out. Oh. Get your tickets now if you want to make
sure. Hurry up.
You have it.
Anybody listening, they better hurry up, too.
They're probably not listening now.
And you're almost out of your CDs, too.
That's true. Get them while they're hot, because I'm trying to turn my kid's room into an actual room. Instead of a place where I keep my CDs and DVDs. Because when he gets old enough, they're going to fall on him and kill my baby. So if you want my baby to live, go to justincomedy.com, buy a CD and a DVD, and then come to the recording.
And if people love this podcast, they're going to love that CD.
Oh, they're going to love it so hard.
If you hate this podcast, the CD is so much better.
Right? Right? It's more polished, I can tell you that. It's a lot shorter. Because
I haven't heard it, but I heard...
I think it's hilarious. I'm not kissing anyone's, you know, hoo-has.
Kissing anyone's hoo-has?
That'll be the new name of our new podcast.
Honest.
Kissing hoo-has.
Hilarious. And when I put my
I think when you say hoo-has, I think boobies, just so we're clear.
Hoo-has are boobies?
I think so.
I just thought it was slang for something.
I like how you started to end the show, and then we've been going.
We probably picked it up about 47 notches. We picked we pulled a Felicity on that one. Where
Felicity.
At the end. Yeah, that's a reference that for any TV nerds.
You watch Felicity?
I didn't,
but I loved Alias, which Felicity, they thought they were going to get canceled, so they started doing it. They wrapped up all the storylines, like, I think 6 episodes or 4 episodes early.
Yeah.
And then Warner Brothers came to them and said, listen, you owe us some episodes. You're going to finish the season. So they said, okay, we'll give you the episodes.
And
they started doing this time travel thing, and then all of a sudden the ratings spiked, and they were like, oh crap, we could get renewed. So J.J. Abrams says, what is the worst possible pitch for next season? And so one of the guys came up, he goes, okay, Felicity graduates college, she immediately gets picked up from this black ops CIA agency that nobody knows anything about. She goes all over the country wearing all these disguises and everything like that, and they're like, that actually sounds kind of cool. And Alias was born.
With the girl who was just a day player on Felicity.
Oh, she was a day player? I didn't know Jennifer Garner was a day player. Mm-hmm. Wow. Son of a bitch.
She was on there just a couple episodes. She played Noel's girlfriend.
Son of a bitch. We finished the whole song. Oh, we're going to close with Hot and Her. Take off your clothes. Get your fuck on, everybody. Because the second funniest podcast is out.
I got your phone.